Can I just say he wants to bring you out to rich fulfillment? How about that?
Yes.
How about this, though? In order to get that rich fulfillment, oh, wait a minute. What if I got to go through the fire and the water a little bit? What if I got to go through some struggles a little bit? Well, now, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I'm all in for that. But see, you don't have to say bring it on necessarily. You're going to have your struggles and issues because we all do. We're human. And we live in a broken, fallen world. So there's stuff that happens all the time. But the key is that we don't focus on the problems or the struggles or the issues, but we focus on the fact that on the other side, when he brings us out on the other side, we're going to be in rich fulfillment. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And you're thinking, and what joy was that? Well, he saw the rich fulfillment. He saw beyond the suffering. He saw beyond the things that are unpleasant. And we need to be like that too. You can't avoid all of life's problems. It's just not possible. But what we can do is we can focus on the Lord, and we can focus on what he is trying to accomplish in us and through us and for us. And that doesn't mean, I'm not saying that God's doing bad things to you, but stuff happens to us. You understand? I mean, we're in a broken, fallen world, and things will happen. And our response is what makes all the difference. We can either whine, and we can complain, and we can focus on all of our problems. You know, I sang the hee-haw song for you last week. Gloom, despair, and agony, me. Oh, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, if you want to go around singing that all the time, that's what your life's going to be like. That's who you're going to be. So when the things happen that you're not too crazy about, you get your eyes, you take them off of that bad, and you look to Jesus, and you say, I'm going to focus on you. Because I know you have a good plan for me. The Word of God is clear, says that he has given us a hope and a future or an expected end. That means he's not going to do you wrong. Amen. I think a lot of us have a poor concept of God. We do. We think God is up there with a big bat or club just waiting to beat us down when we misbehave. We think God is putting all this stuff on us. We think God is, you know, he's not interested in our lives. Just think about how much he loves us. When we were resisting him, when we were his enemies, he loved us enough to send his only son to die for us. That's more than we can even comprehend. We need to get our eyes on the Lord and begin to understand that he is good, and he's working good in our lives all the time. And if we don't see the good, that doesn't mean the good isn't there. If we don't feel good, that doesn't mean that God isn't doing good in our lives. Sometimes we have some really, really tough challenges, and there are moments when we're not really experiencing the presence of the Lord. Now, this morning, I gotta say, man, I was kind of on fire. We had a great time of prayer in the prayer room, and I'd already had a great time of prayer before I came up here, and then we got in here and got to worship, and it's like, wow, I mean, you know, but it's all about positioning ourselves. You understand that? I mean, if you just come and you haven't prayed, you haven't come with a heart that's ready to put yourself into a position to receive, then you're going to come in here, you're going to be cold, you're going to be dead and dry. And maybe by the end of the worship service, you'll be thinking, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. But you've already missed the whole opportunity then. I want to encourage you. That's next week's sermon. But come prepared. Come with an expectation that God is going to meet you here. Come prepared to position yourself and receive what God wants to do. You know, we have a prayer time before church. And we have a pre-worship time for 15 minutes. We close the doors, we've got the lights dimmed. You come in, you can begin to worship, get your heart receptive to the Lord. Those things are available to you. And you can do anything you want on your own time before you come. But if you'll do those things, take advantage of those opportunities, then when we start the church service at 10:30, you're ready. You're already in too, and you're ready to go. You're ready to worship. And when you approach God that way, guess what He does? He just pours it out. Like getting under that fountain, getting under that fire hydrant, just spewing it out everywhere. It's a gusher that we can get underneath and then receive what God is pouring out on us. We just got to position ourselves. Okay, so the proper perspective of the past can help us project into the future. We can review our past a little bit and we can look back and say, these are the things that happened to me and these are the things that God showed me about that. I know I had some issues. God helped me walk through it. I look back at it. I can see His grace is sufficient because I survived it all. Here I am. I'm a living testimony. And we look back and we say, wow, I didn't see it at the time, but God was working on my behalf. And look, when it was all said and done, He did this miracle. He just changed everything. He did it all. But I couldn't see it at the time. And so when we look back at our past, we begin to recognize God's provision and care. We also see how God wants to project that same thing into the future. David was a young man. It says that he had to defend the flock when he was a shepherd against a lion and a bear. It says he, with his bare hands, he took the lamb out of the lion's mouth and saved it. He was a pretty cool guy. You think about that. This is a lion, that's not a bobcat. It's a lion. Lions are really, really big. But David understood that God had anointed him and God had given him a position that allowed him to take matters into his own hands. So when it came time to go out against Goliath, it was the same thing. He was looking back at his past and he said, well, the same God, same kind of a situation. There was a cause. There was a reason. The lion and the bear had one of my father's lambs. So I went and just took it away from him. So when it came time to fight Goliath, he said, no different. It's the same God. It's the same enemy. All the same, God's going to give me the victory, just like He did with the lion and the bear. So when we look back at our past, we can see how God has delivered us, how God has caused us to be victorious. That gives us hope to face future challenges. Right. It's really important that we view God the way that He wants us to, that we don't miss out on all that God wants to do because we have a poor concept of Him. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I'm reading that to you because there's a lot to be said for being content. You look back at your past and you see how God provided for you. Maybe it wasn't like overflowing, but He took care of your needs. Maybe it was overflowing. You look to the future and you say, okay, same God, He's going to take care of me. I'm going to have enough because He is enough. We need to learn to be content. And the reason we can be content is because He is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. It's the same God. He's always there. He's there. We can count on that. So when you're going through a struggle, you can be just like David in the 23rd Psalm. He walks right through the valley of the shadow of death. He's right there with me. He's not forsaken me. He's not left me. He didn't run away when the going got tough. He stayed right with me. It's really important that we see God as someone who is with us and for us all the time. There is not one moment that He is not with you or for you. With you and for you. It's really important that we understand that. All the time, God is with us and for us. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah." Just think about that. God daily loads us with benefits. I'm in. I'll sign up for that one. He daily loads us with benefits. So what is God planning for your future? He wants to load you up with benefits. He wants to bring you out to rich fulfillment. He wants to show you what walking with the Lord is really supposed to be like. And it's not one of those, oh, I just hope I can make it to the end. God wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be walking in victory. He wants to be walking in abundance. Oh, and by the way, learning to be content with such things as you have, guess what? Even when you don't have anything, you can be feeling like, I am in so much abundance. Hallelujah. I'm just going to rejoice because God has provided for my needs today, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. Our attitude makes all the difference in the world. Did you know the Hebrew folks, they had an attitude about God's blessing that was like this. They said, if I've got enough for today and just a little bit more, I am so blessed. My needs are all met. I'm taken care of. I can be generous. I know that God has taken care of me. He's provided for me. I don't have to worry about anything. It's all good because God has blessed me. So our attitude about blessing needs to be that God is enough. And whatever He gives us is enough. And if we're not overflowing, it's okay. It's still enough. We need to have the right attitude about it. Because that's where all of our problems come in. You look at somebody else, you say, well, golly, he's got a new car. I don't have a new car. God, look at that big house they have. They got a swimming pool. Sometimes I'm wondering, is God like, oh, just turn it off for a minute. I get tired of hearing all that whining. But He doesn't. I'm glad I'm not God, because I wouldn't respond the way He does. I'm trying to do better, but I still have a lot of flaws, and I recognize that I don't respond the way God does quite frequently. And it's encouraging, though, to me to know that God is always, He's always responsive to us the way that we need Him to be. He doesn't ever push us away. You know, do you ever remember as a child when maybe somebody rejected you or pushed you away? It'll leave a mark on you. Yeah, I mean, some people, you go through your whole life feeling rejected and abandoned because someone did you that way. You know, it's parents, it's teachers, it's coaches, all kinds of people in our lives, friends. My wife always, when she taught school, she always talked about the little girls. She said they were always so devious, and they would, you know, there'd be like a whole group of girls that would be great friends, and then one day, they just for no reason, they'd show up and say, let's not be friends with Betty over there. And so then they'd all just treat her like dirt all day long, and poor Betty was, my friends don't like me. She'd be all upset, didn't know why. And we've all had times where people have rejected us, people have said things to us that's hurt us, people have abandoned us, people we thought were really good friends in our time of need. Oops, sorry, I can't help with that. Or this is the absolute worst, when a father or a mother hurt us, said something to us that was ugly or rejected us, maybe a spouse. Those things are really hurtful. They're hard. The reason I'm saying all that is to say that we have a tendency to view God in those same ways. That hurt that we experienced in someone that we loved and cared about and we thought loved and cared about us, when they hurt us or rejected us, then we tend to look at our Father in heaven and say, I'm afraid you're going to do me that way, just like they did. He won't. He can't. You understand that He can't do that? Because His very character and nature won't allow Him to do that to us. God is love. He cannot abandon us. He cannot reject us. He cannot do that to us because He is love. That's who He is. He doesn't change. And no matter how much boneheaded stuff we do, no matter how much we mess up, He still loves us. He's going to keep loving us. He's going to keep loving us. He's going to keep loving us. And then He's just going to keep loving us. I guess He's just going to keep loving us forever. You know, and it doesn't matter how much we mess up or how much we resist or how much we do wrong. You understand that? God loves us and he doesn't change. We got this scripture up here. You know, God doesn't change. He's the same. His love never changes. He is infinitely patient and merciful and gracious towards us. We got to grab a hold of that. We got to begin to live our lives like that every day. It really sets you free to be who you are. It sets you free to go out and attempt to do things. It sets you free to go out and say, hey, I'm going to talk to somebody about God's love today. And if they reject you or they laugh at you, it's okay. Because you're just talking about the best thing that's ever happened to you. You know, we don't hesitate to tell someone about a sale at the grocery store or that, you know, got this great shirt on sale or, man, they had this great sale at the car lot, you know, whatever. We don't hesitate to talk about natural things. Why should we hesitate to talk about the greatest thing that's ever come into our lives? I mean, we need to be willing to go out and talk about all of God's goodness. Well, I'm having fun. I don't know about you guys, but this may be a two-parter. So, Psalm 65, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Did you know that hills and pastures shout and sing? I guess they do. But that's cool. Think about that. He says, you're going to drip with abundance. I'm in. I want to be dripping with abundance. I want to be experiencing his crowning of my life with richness. I want to experience that rain that comes down and softens everything and causes it to grow and be productive. That's who God is. That's what he's pouring out on us. So this year, and for every day for the rest of your life, you need to be thinking that God is going to pour out his richness, his abundance. He's going to pour out so much good that we're just going to be loaded up with his benefits, and we're not going to be able to even express it all, because it's going to be so full and so amazing. We're just going to be consumed with, wow, God, you're so good. Wow, I can't believe it. You know, I needed this and you gave it to me. I did that and you blessed it. God wants us to expect good things. Now, if you've had problems, maybe you've had ongoing problems, your mindset becomes, here we go again. Here comes another one. This is, oh, it's probably just going to happen again to me. If you've had physical issues, you have a tendency to say, well, this is going to happen to me. I go to the doctor, they're going to tell me this. They're going to give me a bad report. That's the way we tend to think, naturally. But we have to learn to renew our minds to begin to think differently, begin to think about God in a different way. Think about God in a way that we'll see him as good. And we'll see him as a God who's pouring out abundance on us all the time. It's not just every now and then. You know, it's not like he's just got a scrap of bread and he tosses it out there and says, here, I'll give you a scrap today. It's like, he's pouring it out on us all the time. Pouring it out on us all the time. We got to see it in the spiritual realm. We got to get our eyes on him. We got to start thinking about him, thinking about who he is and what he wants to do. And it's not about us. It's not about us. We just need to say yes. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm in. You know, God has so much good that he wants to do in our lives. If we'll just allow him to do it, give him the freedom to be God in our lives. Trust him. Expect him to show up and be who he really is. I guess, Jason, y'all come on back up. We're going to do communion. And, you know, all this stuff I'm talking about, that's where this whole thing comes from. It's from him, God's provision for us through what Jesus did on the cross. That's how we get this rich abundance I'm talking about. That's how we get loaded up with benefits. Everything that we have and everything that we are supposed to have spiritually comes through what he did on the cross. And so when we partake of this, it is us recognizing his sacrifice and his provision, and us saying, I'm celebrating it. Every time we do this, that's a chance for us to celebrate it until he returns and takes us home. And so we're going to celebrate it. We're going to celebrate his provision, which is not only the forgiveness of our sins and our salvation, but it's our healing for our physical bodies. It is our healing for broken relationships. It is a provision for our financial situations. Every area of our lives, he has made atonement for us through the cross. And we need to receive that. So we believe in open communion. You're not a member, that's fine. What we're going to do is, as we worship, just come get the elements, take them back to your chair and hold them, and we'll all partake together. But I just want to encourage you, be thinking about all of our benefits, being loaded up with these benefits. It all comes through what Jesus did. And this is an opportunity for us to say, I thank you and I celebrate that. And I recognize that that's where it all comes from. You know, even in the old covenant, that's where it all came from. It all comes through what Jesus did. The old covenant was looking ahead. By your stripes, we are healed. New covenant, looking back. By your stripes, we were healed. Past, present, and future. It's all in what Jesus did on the cross. Let's stand and worship. Jesus, when he was having the Passover with the disciples on that last night, he said, "Take, this is my body. This bread represents my body, which is broken and given for you." And Jesus talked about himself at other times as being the living bread who came down from heaven. You remember the manna? The manna was a daily supply. You couldn't store it up. It was just enough for the day. Jesus is more than enough for today, and he's more than enough for tomorrow, and he's more than enough for every day for the rest of our lives. But we need to have a right attitude about it and know that he is enough for today, and to learn to be content with that. So Lord, your body, the living bread that came down from heaven, you are enough, Lord. We celebrate what you did on the cross. You want to load us up with benefits, and we know that that only is available to us through what you did on the cross. You took all of that punishment. You took upon yourself. You literally became sin for us. You took our guilt and our shame, and you took it all upon yourself, so that we can be at peace with the Father. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for being willing and obedient. And so, Lord, I pray now that as we partake of this, that you help us. Help us, Lord, to be willing and obedient like you. We want to be like you. We want to be loving and merciful like you, our Father. Jesus, give us ears to hear so that we'll hear the Father like you did. Help us to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit. So we partake of this body and we remember what you did, Lord Jesus. So break it and partake of it together now in Jesus' name. In the same manner, since he took the cup, he blessed it. And he said, "I want you to drink it all, because this is my blood of the new covenant." And Lord, it's through your blood that not only do we have forgiveness and cleansing, but you have broken the power of sin in our lives. We do not have to let sin rule and reign over us. We have dominion over sin because of what you did on the cross. You have put Satan under your feet. You have put all things under your feet. And Lord, we are in you, and as your people in you, help us to learn to walk with everything under our feet the way that you intend for it to be, Lord. We want to walk in the authority as your children, kids of the King, walking in obedience, walking in your blessing and favor, walking in your authority, knowing that you are with us and you never leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood, and we receive that together now, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. days. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
Look into the spiritual realm and see beyond the physical stuff. See beyond the natural things. Get your eyes on the eternal thing. Ask God to reveal himself to you in new ways, in ways where you can see him as he is. 1 John says, beloved, not yet real clear to us, but when we see him, we're going to be like him, because we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him.
Thank you, Jesus.
We need to see God as he is so that we can be changed. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so in my life. Let me see you as you are. Change me, oh God. Make me the man that I should be. Make me the husband, the father, the grandfather, the employee, the brother, the pastor that I should be, Lord. I want to be who you have called me to be, Lord. Every area of my life, Lord, let me see you as you are so that I'll be changed, become like you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Go in the name of the Lord, and please, if you're a visitor, there's a deal on the back of your, the last part of your bulletin. You can fill that out and tear it off and put it in that box by the back door. And anybody else, if you have a prayer request or you have a need or you have a change of address, tear that off and put it in there, and we'll keep up with you. Be faithful to the Lord. Remember your giving. Go and be blessed. Have a great week. And remember, God wants to load you up. This week, open your eyes and expect him to load you up with some of those benefits. Amen?
Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord.